The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay. So these last days, I've been thinking about something very profound. And so I talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I'd like to kind of basically bring up the same topic because it's so important. And maybe do a little bit the same as we did yesterday, which is I'll talk for a little while and then have a chance for maybe if you form little groups of four to discuss this topic together, if you'd like to do this discussion. And because sometimes by discussing something, you really understand better what's going on. You grapple with it, you make it your own, you kind of explore it. I find sometimes when I and other people hear themselves speak, something different happens inside than if you just listen to something like a talk or read a book or something, more personally engaged and helps us move along better with it. And so it's a very profound topic that can seem very simplistic. It's so simplistic that if someone give you this advice, you might roll your eyes or you might be annoyed. Or you might kind of not understand how profound it is and how it's applicable in almost all circumstances, and whether it's times when you're stressed out or times when kind of a deep spiritual realms of experience. And so the profound thing is to relax. That's it. Just relax. And in some ways, relaxing can be seen a little bit close to the heart of what Buddhist practice is about, because the heart of the practice is to let go of how we cling, how we tighten up and hold on for dear life to things, how we resist, and all movements that require attention. And so to learn how to release our tension, to release the stress, is very much supported by relaxation. The word lax in relax means to loosen in Latin, to loosen, like to untie or to loosen. And to re means again, so to loosen again, which implies that once upon a time you were loose. Once upon a time you were relaxed. So let's get back there. Let's cut, you know, if you see little babies sometimes, it's beautiful to watch sometimes the skin, the shoulders, the back of the babies, and they just seem so relaxed and kind of an upright baby who's sitting upright, once they're big enough to sit upright. To see their back sitting upright sometimes is one of the beautiful things in nature, I think. It's relaxed, whole, present, and slowly over our lifetime we lose some of that. So to come back to a state of relaxation, ease, calm, tranquility. And some of that is done physically to relax the tensions we carry with us. And as many of you know, and maybe that's why you meditate, but meditation is considered one of the important ways in which we can learn to relax. Relax the body, relax the mind, relax the heart. And it's very important to learn how to relax. Because if we don't learn how to relax and how to have the skills to relax the tensions we build up, the tensions we have can be chronic and can be, you know, go on for decades and build up and not release. And then it becomes a habit to be tense, to be tight, to be held some way. And we want to be able to break the cycles of staying tense and tense and tense. And some of those cycles come from the way we think. I don't know about your mind, but some minds can run a mile a minute, you know, or can go to 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. You know, they're kind of spinning around and around and around, thinking and thinking and thinking. And many times it's the strength of our thoughts and our fears about the future, our anxieties, our resentments, are not inconsequential to have that. But they often can translate into our body tensing up, being tight in various ways. And then as the body gets tight, it's uncomfortable, And then there's an inner response or reaction to that tension that we carry that sometimes makes more tension. We get upset, we get angry, we get, you know, upset with how it is, we tense up even more. And so we need to find some way to relax, and meditation is one of the ways that helps us do that. One way is that it just helps us to stop. It stops the perpetual going and doing and doing we do, both physically activities, but also it starts to help us stop the incessant spinning of the mind. It begins to quiet down, interrupt it, so it doesn't go just uninterruptedly thinking, 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 building up the tension that comes in how we're gripped in fear, anxiety, anger, things like that. And as we stop that way, there's this kind of natural relaxation. The body wants to relax. The mind wants to relax. I think of the analogy I like is if you put a ball on top of a hill, you know, the edge of a hill on the slope, it'll run downhill unless something's blocking it. In the same way, our whole physiology and psychology is set up to relax. If we let go, if we give it half a chance, if we're not pushing the ball up the hill, or if we're not just holding it in check, the ball will roll downhill. The body and mind will relax if we give it a chance. And so meditation is one of the places we give ourselves a chance to do this. And I think one of the important aspects of in relationship to relaxation and meditation is that we learn to do it for ourselves. We learn a skill to be able to relax. And so if you're standing in line or at work or in some kind of difficult situations, you've acquired the skills to kind of relax your belly, soften your shoulders, maybe soften your face, maybe to kind of shift your posture in such a way that your posture is not leaning or tightening or pulling back, but just a balanced posture. So you learn the simple things. You learn how to track your mind, what you're thinking and how you're thinking, and to recognize, oh, this way of thinking is not helpful. I am catastrophizing. I'm thinking of every possible catastrophe that can happen if I, you know, do whatever. And so this kind of thinking doesn't have a good track record, because I've been catastrophizing for decades and it seldom comes true. You know, most people learn after a while, you know, how poor their predictions are, and you know, begin loosening up. But this funny mind we have sometimes is slow to learn. It believes so much the kind of thoughts it has. And so with the learn, oh, there's catastrophizing again, and then relaxing the mind, kind of loosening up, letting up, maybe dropping those thoughts just for a few moments, just to kind of let things to unwind and relax. In many spiritual teachings, including those of the Buddha, relaxation and the tranquility that comes from it is seen as a very important doorway for insight, for wisdom, for really understand something deep in our life. And the ancient quote by Confucius, supposedly, is that you don't see your own reflection in running water. The water has to be still. The lake water surface has to be still to put your head over the lake and see your reflection. So in the same way, you know, your mind, if it's running and spinning, you don't really see yourself or the world very well. And so we need to have some level of tranquility in order to have a chance for wisdom to come. One of the principles that I've seen about the inner life is there's a tremendous amount of wisdom in there, intuition, understanding there, that is easily covered over by anxiety and stress, by a busy mind that's spinning and thinking and fantasizing. But if we learn to relax all that, not to fall asleep, but to be relaxed and alert, then this deeper wellsprings of understanding, of intuition, of sensing and feeling can be there. Relaxation is also, in Buddhism, Buddhist practice is understood to be purifying. And the word purifying, what it means is that we carry with us a lot of, many of us will carry with us many unresolved issues, feelings, emotions, that from childhood, from adulthood, from any time period in our life. And sometimes they are kind of in remission or kind of buried under our tensions, under the busyness of our life. And as we begin to relax, then those unresolved issues have a chance to surface and come up. Sometimes there's almost like they're held in the muscles. And as the muscles relax, they get released. And it would seem like that's good news to have that happen. But sometimes it can be quite uncomfortable to have these energies and feelings and emotions come forth as they get released. And that process of this release in Buddhism is sometimes called purification. And sometimes you have to be patient and go through a period of that, of purification. And it usually doesn't last that long, but you have to see it through. So one of the great practices that is applicable in many, many situations that I kind of sums up for me Buddhist practice in a nutshell is to imagine there's a very comfortable chair, maybe an easy chair, in the middle of whatever situation you're in. And whatever emotional situation you're in, whatever challenges you have in your life, wherever they are, those challenges, there's a nice chair. And you place yourself right in the middle of your challenges and sit down in that chair and relax. Isn't that great? So look for where your challenges are. Look for the difficulties. And don't shy away from them. Don't run away. Don't try to be too busy involved in fixing it and solving it, because that sometimes just keeps everything kind of tense. Doesn't allow the deeper kind of intuition to operate or deeper process to operate. But kind of like, and don't avoid anything, but you really look it right in the eye. Whatever's going on, look at it with a loving gaze, kind eyes, and relax. And then see what happens. It's quite a wonderful thing to be in the middle of what is, whatever, and relax. One of the things that people learn in this process is that you don't have to take so much responsibility for solving your problems, for understanding what's going on. You have to make the conditions to allow something to unwind and unfold that you can't do, that comes out of the relaxation. So finally, I'll say that the deeper realms of Buddhist practice, this teaching to sit still and relax with what's going on becomes more and more important. Even though there's a lot of tranquility and peace that happens as meditation goes deeper, we want to still be able to relax and go further with this. So the instruction is to relax. Now, what I'd like you to do is to relax. You hear the instructions to form little groups and that you're going to talk to each other if you'd like. If you don't want to talk to someone, you can sit quietly and we'll have a little period afterwards to kind of follow up discussion. But we'll do about 10, 15 minutes of a little discussion you can have. And you can also leave. It's fine if you don't like to do this kind of thing. Maybe it's not what you're up for today. But it's a great thing to be able to talk to other people at IMC, because often we don't have a chance. I'm here and I usually carry on monologues. One of the few places in my life I'm allowed to just... But it's really nice to be able to meet other people who do the same practice, enter the same thing, and to share this. So that's the idea. So what I'd like to suggest is that you form groups of four. And I think four is a good number. And that you discuss in your group where in your life is it really appropriate, really to the point, really, I think, helpful to relax. And that's the instruction. You don't have to talk about anything you don't want to talk about. This is not like true confessions of difficult things. And also the recommendation is you don't tell a long story. You think of this as more of a listening exercise than a talking exercise. So you have to say enough to explain your thing, but you don't start by saying, well, it started 10 years ago, and And then 9 years ago, there was this, and 8 years ago. But then I forgot to tell you what happened, you know. Just kind of, because the advantage to you of keeping your little description somewhat short, I mean, not concise, you know, not a little short, is you get to hear the other people, and they're going to affect you. You're going to think new things. You're going to kind of remind you. It's going to evoke new ideas, understanding for you. And then by the time it comes back to you, goes around in a circle, clockwise or whatever, then you'll explore and think about something new you want to say. And then, so it's nice if you can go around maybe 3 or 4 times, going around and hear each other and see what comes out of it. Is that clear? So if you can't find a group of 4 to sit in, walk towards me. You'll either find people who are also looking for a group, or I'll help you figure out what to do. So please, and I'll ring a bell when it's time to stop. Great. Thank you. I hope that was nice for you. It sounded like there was a lot of energy. You were pretty aroused to talk about relaxation. I hope, I think sometimes the idea of relaxation can be overlooked because we're so sophisticated as, we're smart and we think that we have, to analyze and use our brains to understand in some big way. And relax is so simplistic, it can't be that easy. And maybe it isn't so easy. But there's a difference between the problems we have, the challenges we have, and how we are in the midst of those challenges. And some challenges won't go away if you're tense. And they also might not go away if you're relaxed. But which is more comfortable? And which is more useful? In some situations, it's much more useful to be relaxed. It's kind of just a waste of energy to be all tense. And sometimes by being relaxed, we can see what needs to be done better. We can be wiser. We don't have blinders on. We don't have bias. Quite useful. So maybe we can have a few of you say, what was it like to have that conversation? And did anything come up for you that was surprising or interesting? Or did you learn anything? Or what was it like? I wasn't privy to any of the conversations, so maybe I can get a little flavor of them from a few of you. Great. Can you take the mic? I don't know where...
We just had such a good discussion, and everyone was seeming relaxed around each other, and one of us even talked about how we tend to get worried about the impression we're going to make and kind of get tense around each other. But very quickly, especially with your help, I think we realized we could just talk very easily together. And I think the talk was even better because of that. And what's coming to me now is kindness. That it's so much easier for me to relax when I remember just that we're all in this together, and that there's a lot more kindness than I usually am imagining.
Great. So relaxing helps us to access that. Great. Thank you. So right behind you.
We also had a really great discussion, and one of the things that we noticed is that there were at least two different types of things that we needed to relax from, kind of like external factors, so like other people who were making us stressed, or outside situations that were really affecting us, or like the internal thing that, you know, just kind of your internal voice being like, oh, I need to do this, or this is how I want to be, and everything that really made everyone tense and needed the relaxation. So one of the important things was distinguishing which of those situations you're in and then kind of applying those relaxation techniques
for
that.
Great. So. That's very good. Thank you. Someone else? So, okay, maybe Michael, all the way in the outer room.
I think relaxation happens, the healing happens in relaxation.
That's right. Healing happens in relaxation, absolutely. It allows the healing capacities of our whole psychological and physical system to operate. It can't operate if we're very well if we're stressed.
I had kind of a embarrassing realization when you were talking about how it's so simplistic to relax versus to be thinking and working and strategizing. I'm very tense most of the time, just thinking and just putting a lot of pressure on myself. And I realized, like, well, why? If I actually had the opportunity to relax, would I want to take it? And the answer was, well, no, because then I wouldn't feel important. I have such a strong bias. You know, I think this is very typical of our culture towards the idea that thinking and using the mind and just hunting things and being ambitious and driven and just stressed is more important and inherently superior to relaxation, and kind of looks down on that. So I accessed this fear in me of what would I do if I had to relax, if I had even 5 minutes where I had to just relax. I'd feel like I was naked, you know, just like standing in a crowd, like, I don't like this.
This is a great insight you have. I would congratulate you, say this is great. And I think even being able to talk about it so clearly means that you have some wisdom about it. You don't quite believe it, right?
Thank you.
Not quite, almost.
Thank you.
So I would encourage you to keep looking at this and questioning this, and don't just fall back in the old habits.
Yeah, actually, it's something that happens to me almost every morning where I wake up. I don't set an alarm clock, and I just wake up whenever I wake up, and then I'll lay in bed until it's time for me to get out of bed. And during the time from the time I wake up till the time I get out of bed, I'm laying there thinking about all these issues that I have, particularly at work, that require some kind of solution making. And it's really clear to me that when I'm really relaxed and I'm laying there in bed, just kind of, you know, enjoying myself, you know, I think up all these incredibly creative things for figuring out these problems. And I actually have a pad of paper and a pen by the side of my bed, and I actually write down, you know, which cases that I deal with, what the solutions are for various things. And it really works. I mean, it's amazing the number of extraordinarily creative things that pop into my mind at that hour.
It's true. And some people find going for a walk or taking a shower or meditating. creative thinking happens that doesn't happen other ways. Yeah. So,
So our group spent some time on catastrophic thinking and starting that going in the morning. And I have this great quote by my desk at work. I can't say I always look at it at these at the appropriate time, but it says, anxiety is not preparation.
Anxiety is not preparation. Great. Anxiety is perspiration.
Right. I wonder what happens if you tried everything to relax on a given day or with a given issue and it still didn't work.
Like, it doesn't mean work. What does working mean?
I mean, like, let's say that there is a very stressful day or a week or whatever, then use all the means that you know that doing sports, meditation, and you couldn't focus because you were so stressed that it was just overwhelming, and all the other means that usually you can use, you used, and it's still there, and the stress is still there. You know, what then? Mm. I guess everyone has.
I think what comes, I don't know, but I have two things come to mind. One is do some therapy. Mm-hmm. And because if nothing works after a week of trying, you know, all the meditation and exercise and even in distraction, there's all kinds of things to do, right? Nothing works. Then maybe you need to kind of get some help to get underneath the surface of your mind and your thoughts, your beliefs, what's going on there. And therapy is a great way to do that sometimes. That's one thing. The other thing to do is to, if you really are tense and you do everything you can not to be tense, just do a better job at being tense. Give yourself over to it more fully and really have those thoughts more strongly. See what happens then.
Makes sense. Thanks.
And sometimes you need to do things thoroughly just to see them through. And if you can. Okay, so one more. Yes?
I have a question that just came up, and that's does naming things make a difference? Does naming, naming like we do with noise or whatever, so like saying, I've never done this, but saying tension.
Yeah.
I just wanted your comment on...
Yeah, oftentimes if something is named, then sometimes in a conversation someone says, let me name what's happening here in this meeting, and everyone says, oh yeah, that's what's happening. Everyone relaxes, you know, someone sees something. So naming something can help many situations. And we use that in Vipassana practice, mindfulness practice, as one of the tools in the toolkit is to use, we don't call it naming, we call it mental noting. And it has many, many functions, but sometimes the clear acknowledgement of what's going on, we might kind of know what's going on, but to really say it in our minds with a label, like, oh, this is tension. And that acknowledgement sometimes it lets something release or something open up around it. Be very helpful. Okay, so thank you. And so relaxation is really a great thing to do, and you might explore good situations where you can kind of, you know, step into it and relax, and don't try to do it. Just see what happens if you just relax in the middle of it and put aside the problem-solving mind. Just be present in a relaxed way. See what happens to you. But be careful that you don't overdo relaxation. You know, it can be done too much. What we're looking for is balance. What we're looking for is there has to be strength together with the relaxation, and the right balance of strength and relaxation. And we also want to become strong people in this process as well, not just kind of, you know, weak, relaxed people. But strong, relaxed people. So there's a certain strength of mind, strength of body even, supports this whole process. So, but may you have a relaxing week. And if you can't relax this week, try to understand why. Thank you.